Welcome to the C3 Church Global Podcast with Phil Pringle. Phil is the founder and senior leader of C3 Church Global, a family of over 500 churches around the world. We're passionate about bringing you fresh, inspiring devotionals to fuel your day and insightful conversations on all things church and leadership. And it all starts right now.
Well, everybody, hi there. It's so good to have you with us on the C3 Church Global Podcast. And I have got with me two very special people today, Clarence and Deb, who are the regional directors, just recently made into that, of the Southeast Mainland Asia. It's really good to have you guys here with us.
Thank Pleasure you. To be here, Pastor Phil.
Yeah.
And you guys have been running that church in KL for how long?
We've been here for 12 years now. Destiny C3 is 12 years old.
Destiny C3. What made you call it that name?
When we were thinking of planting more churches out of our church. Like initially in Malaysia, we had like C3 Subang, which was the town where we were at. But in Malaysia, you can't, every time you want to plant a church in a new location, we kind of have to re-register the name. So we were thinking of an umbrella name, and at that point, the movement was kind of open to each church having sort of their own identity in terms of having their own name. So we kind of prayed about it, and Destiny just kept popping up, and we thought, sounds like God's on it, so let's just go with Destiny C3.
Yeah, it's been good.
Fantastic. Now, you went through C3 College.
Yeah.
Yep.
And both of you graduated?
Yeah.
So I studied full-time. Debbie studied part-time. Yeah, but we both graduated.
We had our son with us then. He was 3 years old. So I had to be at home with him. But I did join many of the classes there. It was phenomenal. It changed our lives.
Yeah, that is, and you were there for 3 years.
No, we were there for 1 year, actually.
Oh, just 1 year. Wow.
Just 1 year.
Yeah. That's like an express development. That's like a supercharged, fast development for a minister who's going to plant a church, a C3 church, in a Muslim country.
The thing is, we didn't go there with the intention of planting. Yeah. So the church where we were from, Pastor Joe and Stella's church, they had just come under the C3 movement. So Pastor Pat, at that point, he was overseeing Southeast Asia, and he recommended that Debbie and I go spend a year there, learn the culture of the movement, bring it back to our parent church.
He was the youth leader, and I was the music director at that point. Yeah, so they wanted us to go there and learn about the culture of C3.
Yeah, so we went there actually more as observers, as students, to study about C3, bring the culture back to Malaysia. But we came back church planters, to make a long story short. Yeah.
Wonderful. So, Deb, you said it changed your life. How did it do that?
Oh, gosh. Where do I even begin? We met some really great friends, some really awesome mentors who journeyed with us and are still journeying with us. It changed personally my life. Like, I never, like what Clarence said, we never wanted to plant a church. Coming from a pastor's family, you see the ins and outs of Christian life and church life, and there's a lot of fears. But coming into the college and learning and studying and growing and being exposed to the presence of God, it just does something within you. The presence of God just releases boldness and freedom. And by the end of that year, we were like, yes, let's go back and plant a church. And it just completely changed. Even I think our personality, a lot of our fears and a lot of our things that we had in our past was just like healed and just set free. So it really brought so much.
Hey, Pastor Phil, little known fact. One of the conditions that Debbie gave me when we started dating all those years ago, right? She said, you got to promise me you would never become a pastor because I don't want to marry a pastor.
Yeah, I see.
And
that.
I was like, of course, who's going to be a pastor? No way I'm going to be.
Yeah, I'm going to marry a rich businessman.
There you go. Now tell me, has it worked out just like you thought it would be, better or worse?
Oh my gosh, so much better. Like planting the church has, not only of course being a part of what God wants to do, being in the center of God's will, it's always perfect, right? You know, everything falls. Yes, you've got challenges, but things falls into place. There's so much joy in it. And it, planting the church, a lot of people say, you know, we're so blessed to be a part of this church. I'm like, you have no idea. I'm so blessed to be a part of this church. Like, it's been, you know, so good for us personally. Fantastic. Our children, our families,
Yeah. So tell me about how Pastor Joe responded when he sent you to the Bible College from his church as the youth leaders and children's church workers, and you go out to C3 Sydney on your own campus at the Bible College there, and then you come back and you say, hey, Pastor Joe, we're not coming back to your church. We're going to go and plant a church. How was that? Tell us about that part of the journey.
I think what happened was we did somewhere mid of the year while in Bible College. We kind of knew at that point where we had numerous prophecies and just God was speaking in our heart. We knew that we're going to go back and plant a church.
Uh-huh.
So we discussed among ourselves. I think Pastor Keith Edwards was in the discussion as well. And we just spoke about the potential of planting a church in Malaysia. And we decided that, you know what, when we go home, we're going to serve Dad's church for about a year.
Yeah.
And at the end of, after 1 year, we're going to ask him to release us to plant a church. And that's exactly what we did. We came back, we served for a year. And towards the end of the following year, we kind of asked him and said, hey, Pastor Joe, you know, we feel that God's really put this in our hearts to plant a church. Will you be okay to releasing us? And he was fine because he had just come under the C3 movement, which is a church planting movement. So that culture was very much taking root in his heart as well. So from that point, he kind of released us with a team. We had about there was 11 of us that kind of started meeting in a home.
Those 11 came from Pastor Joe's church.
Yeah. So they were friends of ours, people that we grew up with, and they came from his church.
Okay, and financially, how did you start out?
So I think we've been really blessed in that sense. We've had good financial backing. So from the point of starting in 2011, we were pretty much financially independent. We didn't have to depend on funds from Pastor Joe's church.
They did collect for us an offering as a church.
They did collect for us a one-off offering.
Yeah.
But when we started, we had like people come and give us money. I've had friends come and offer us a place to do church for
free.
Renovated our church for us, did it all up for free. And then, in fact, when we started our first service, we had like a fully equipped church. Carpeted, air conditioning.
How good is that?
Small place though, but we were blessed in that sense, and we've been financially independent since.
Oh, amazing. So you had your first meeting with 11 people, and then what was that? Was that an interest meeting? Was that a Sunday meeting?
So we started meeting in a home in the KL, just a bunch of us. 11 of us met up and we were just praying, casting vision. You know, the whole church planting was
taking
new
communion
to everybody. And just kind of imagining the church that we would want, that God would want planted through this ministry. So when we just met, the 11 of us met, and then we were given that space. Then we used to meet in that empty space and pray together. And then when we launched on the first Sunday of 2011, we had people invite their friends to just come forward. And our first meeting, we didn't have much people. I think probably about 25 to 30 people.
Yeah, people just showed up. Yeah,
and then people started showing up. Yeah.
Word of mouth mostly.
Word of mouth, mostly word of mouth.
Did you do much online activity?
At that point, online wasn't a thing.
No.
Okay.
So it was pretty much just word of mouth. And
you were preaching every service, or did you let Deb every now and then?
I preached every now and then.
Yeah, the now and then.
Amen. Yeah. So what kind of people came along? Was it young people or married couples like you?
Like a mixed group.
Yeah.
It's quite odd, actually. We thought that more young people would be coming, and that we do have quite a fair number of young people at our church. But it's a lot of families, a lot of the older ones, the more senior, and then we've got teenagers, we've got kids. So it's a very mixed group.
Yeah. So we've had a lot of young families and older families that come. And,
okay. So now that's 2011, and now we're in 2023. So it's like 13 years. 12 years later. And tell us about the journey. I mean, Easter this year, did you find there was a lot of people turning up?
Yeah, there are a lot of people that showed up. Easter is probably one of our biggest services, but you still have, I think in Malaysia, a lot of people have still not gotten over the whole effects of COVID.
Yeah.
So a lot of people still opt to watch online. So we still do have...
There's a new variant that's out. So, you know, some of them are still a bit more fearful.
Yeah.
But we do have online services and we do encourage them to join us. Come and attend, you know.
Yeah, so like for Christmas, we actually had to, because we know everybody shows up for Christmas, so we actually booked out a space in a local hotel.
Yeah.
Right.
And we have our Christmas service. So that was good. So for Easter, we kind of decided, no, you know what, we're just going to have it at the church itself.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
That's cool. Yeah.
So when people turn up, are they mostly like non-Christian people who've never been in a church before, or are they Christians from other backgrounds?
You'd have a mix. You'd have some non-Christians. You'd have Christians from different backgrounds, Christians who've like left church and left God, backslidden Christians coming back. And we have a lot of those people who kind of were disorientated with church life and decided. Someone invited them, hey, just come and check out this church. And they come and they stick and their lives have changed. So I think.
Okay.
But even with non-Christian families, we've had like families coming to the Lord.
Yeah,
in
entire
the church,
families.
Entire
yeah.
families, like from grandmother right down to grandchildren. It's been
that's awesome. Yeah. So apart from Deb's preaching, what other reason do people come to the church for?
A good look, maybe.
We wish, yeah.
We've got an amazing team. Yeah. You know, our worship thing is amazing. We've got great leaders who pastor well over our people, really in touch with the members. We do fun stuff together, as couples, married courses. We had that the other night, like a night session where we just like had songs, like...
just a night of worship and...
Worship, prayer meetings, all of those.
So I think one of our values is the presence of God, which we pretty much got from you, Pastor Phil.
Yes.
So we spend time soaking in the presence. So one thing that people often say, even Christians who've, journeyed, who've been to different churches, they say, well, there's really a sense of the presence of God in this place. So we give space for that and let the Holy Spirit minister.
Yes.
Right. Yeah, no, the presence of God is a really big thing. And I'm feeling... I got to tell you, Clarence and Deb, I feel a re-emphasis on exactly that area and on the Holy Spirit. This year in the Australian conference, I will be speaking definitely on the Holy Spirit and the presence of God and how important it is that we make room for that in all of our services. And sometimes it's quiet. Sometimes it's worshiping. I think that... oftentimes, excitement is misunderstood as being the presence of God. And I've been in meetings that are pretty exciting, pretty jumpy, pretty loud, pretty noisy, but I can't feel a thing of the presence of God. And I really do believe we need to ensure that we're not trying to pretend he's there or artificially create an atmosphere, but actually allow God to presence himself in our gatherings, and that will break open people's hearts. That will actually bring them into transformation and the places that they are really longing for. And every heart on the face of the planet is aching for that presence. We were built for the presence of God. There's no doubt about that.
Absolutely. I think it was Pastor Phil that said, right, you know, the world has everything, like the lights and the sounds and the band, you know, and the food. But what they don't have is the presence of God.
So
and that is
everything we do at church, the world can do. Yeah. And they can do even better with all their equipment and their finances and stuff. But the one thing that they cannot give the people is the presence of God. So that's what sets us, I feel, should set the church apart.
Yeah. I think sometimes what we do can get in the way of what God wants to do, and especially if our faith is in those things that we manufacture rather than in the gift he's given. And the greatest gift he's given is the Holy Spirit for this age. I mean, obviously Jesus is for our salvation. It's the most awesome gift ever. But when I'm thinking about the age of the New Testament in the early church, this is the age of the Holy Spirit. And it just seems that every age has the kind of the tendency to push the Holy Spirit aside and try and replace it with our works, our efforts.
Yeah.
And I'm really glad that you have found that you have actually bought into we've got to live in the presence of God, because that means everyone can start a church. That you know, like who's got the call of God on. They're not going to need a big band and lights and smoke machines and a stage and a building. You can actually have a living room and just have the presence of the Lord there. And when I say everybody can start a church, I mean everybody who's feeling the call of God and has got the, you know, the approval, if you like, of of the sending church and of pastors overseeing them. They don't need to be thinking, oh, we haven't got this or that. They are actually, the presence of God will do everything for you.
That's right, absolutely.
Yeah, so tell me what you've been preaching on. What would you say the main message of your church is?
Oh, man, that's quite a bit. But of late, it's been empowering, just getting people to realize that
they are the
church. Just kind of buy in into that whole idea that they are the church.
Right.
Because in Asia, I think the mentality is, because many of them come from different backgrounds, right? Spiritual background. And the mentality is you go to the priest blesses you, the priest prays for you, the priest does it all. And I think one of my messages not too long ago is you are the temple. So the potential of your life is limitless with God. So wherever you go, church can happen because is there. You're there and the presence of God can be released through you. So knowing that God has got no grandchildren, we are all at the same level with God. Trying to get, I think if everybody gets that, revival can happen anywhere, in schools, in colleges, and, you know, not people don't just wait for it to happen in church,
What do you feel the greatest need is there in Malaysia amongst people? What would be on their minds the most? I mean, you said they're nervous about a new variant. So obviously a message about faith overcoming fear would be very good. But what kind of messages do you find that people are really responding to?
I would think... yeah, like what you said, messages of faith, messages of how to kind of really navigate life, totally trusting 100% the word of God. So those kind of messages is needed. And also to, I think a large portion of our people, not just in Malaysia and Southeast Asia, they all, like I said, they all come from spiritual backgrounds. So they, I think the supernatural is much needed in our community to see the power of God, because they hear good preaching everywhere, they hear good teaching everywhere, there are heaps of churches, and you know, they've got access to some of the best online on YouTube, the best in America, the best in Europe, but they need to see the power of God at work in their lives. So we kind of push for miracles and push for them to pray for each other, and every time someone gets healed, something happens, we kind of testify, we kind of let it get out there so people know that, hey, this God is real, he is supernatural, he heals as well.
And fantastic.
So that's much needed in this context.
You know, there's a scripture in Mark that says, and the Lord worked with them, confirming the word with signs following. And that's it's a phenomenal thing. We should make room at the end of our preaching for God to work miracles, not just say, amen, I've finished preaching, go home, everybody. Actually, every preacher, every pastor should allow a time at the end of any message. If he's preached for 20 minutes, there should be 10 minutes just where people can respond to the message, where the word can manifest in power. But you know, this morning, just this morning, I was doing a Bible study on Acts 2, and I thought, this is amazing, because the signs and the wonders happened before the message. You know, the Spirit fell, and they all got filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke in other languages and tongues of fire and the sound of a rushing mighty wind. So all of the supernatural stuff started actually, and then once the people's attention was gathered, they caught the attention of the people, the signs and wonders, then Peter preached. And so I think sometimes we can afford to not just think that we're going to pray for people at the end of the preaching. I often will actually go for praying for people before I start preaching. And I find that in that wind that starts to blow, when you say, okay, you get a word of knowledge and you think, what does the Lord want me to do here? And you might feel like this somebody with a very bad hip, or they've got arthritis, or there's asthma conditions. Mm-hmm. It's not that you guess it, you're just feeling that God is guiding you to that. And then ask people to raise their hand and say, look, let me pray for you. And it's amazing right then what will happen in those people's lives. Or yeah. even to prophesy over just looking across the congregation, you see somebody say, God has got such a word for you today. And mm-hmm. and that provides, that supernatural atmosphere provides a platform for preaching with immense power so that people's attention is at a higher level.
Yeah, absolutely right. That's like great. We've done, I think it's just so important that we walk in step with the Spirit and we're sensitive to what He's saying and where He's leading. And if it's just, we're going to worship for an hour and just to allow that to happen, you know, and not to be so boxed in by our structures and our program.
Yeah, so while we have structure, we kind of, you know, if you feel the Holy Spirit kind of saying, okay, don't preach today, just spend more time in worship. And we've done that. And we just kind of go with it. And it's been really, really powerful. We had people get like healed and really touched during
those
times.
Bring the church up to the next level as well in your faith.
Yes.
Learn that from you, Pastor Phil.
Well, I think that if it's occasional and it's the exception, not the rule, then it has power. But if you're just doing it every week, it doesn't build a strong church. You need to be preaching the word. And then occasionally, if the Holy Spirit wants to bust in and do something different, then people's faith rises because they something's going on, and I think that in itself is a very magnetic force for a church. It draws people where they feel like I'm going to get God's help in that place, or He's going to speak to me in that place. Amen. So how are you finding COVID, coming out of COVID? You say it's a bit slow. Are you finding that you lost people during COVID and they've come back, or you're rebuilding?
I think a lot of people took time to come back. And we've actually gained people after COVID. We find that we've got a lot of new people that have come in. I think part of it are people who have been traveling from, I think the whole COVID season allowed some people, some Christians, to be exposed to other churches.
Right.
So we have some Christians who have moved, you know, over that season, who have come in. And then we also have a lot of new people, new families that are coming to church post-COVID. So we've seen a lot of new people come in, actually. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's awesome. Awesome.
It's been a season of growth, actually.
Yeah. Do you find that being in a Muslim country actually has restrictions on you?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, definitely. The thing is, they don't have restrictions on Christians per se. So we're allowed to do what we want as long as we don't encroach into the Muslim community. So we are not, if we are caught ministering to a Muslim or trying to get a Muslim to our church, they could actually come and shut down our church.
Yeah.
So that's illegal in our nation. So we're not supposed to have...
It's illegal to witness to them.
Yeah, Muslims in our church.
We can't have outdoor sort of evangelistic events, you know. So it has to be in a church.
And if we were to have any event, let's say we book a public space, we have to be very specific. This is a non-Muslim event for non-Muslims only. It must be stated there. Otherwise, we could get in trouble.
And we have had... some police officers just come in and check in with us, like, you know, what you guys are doing, you know, and so they do monitor the churches.
Yeah. Right. Let me ask you, you know, my experience in your part of the world is that family and relationships have always been, in my view, held at a more sacred level and are more stable than in the West. And so I'm wondering if that same value, which I guess came from Confucius thinking, where you honor the elders, you honor your parents, and you look after each other, does that help you in church life as well?
I think you have pros and cons to that. So because of that family value, if the parents are saved or if the parents are Christians, you get the whole family rallying behind it. And we have a church with a lot of families coming. But the negative side of that is because of that whole system of honor and value of what the parents say, what the grandparents say, you have like children who want to become Christians but cannot reveal it to their parents. It's right. like a massive dishonor,
right.
and they would be they could be disowned. In fact, we were just counseling a girl yesterday,
yeah,
whose mother threatened to disown her simply yeah. because she became a Christian.
Wow.
So you've got that aspect of it, and they don't want to dishonor the parents because right. it would be like shame on the whole family and things like that. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. It is that the shame culture has some real sad downsides, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Especially when kids feel like they've disappointed their parents or whatever. And I really do think that you will be able to bring answers for kids yeah. to help them feel they're okay, even if they have failed yeah. somewhat in life. And that's the grace of God. It's the yeah. gospel. Amen.
Amen.
You know, I'm so glad to have you guys on board and on our C3 Global Regional Director team, and for taking up the responsibility of looking after that region. And I know that we're going to see many new churches started in your country and in the region around about you, because you've got that spirit, that culture about you of disciple making and of church planning. So thanks for doing that. And maybe just if you each like to say some last words as we come to a close on the podcast.
Debbie?
Well, thank you so much for allowing us to step into this role. You know, C3 has been a huge part of our life,
yeah.
in our church life, in our ministry. Like what we said earlier, we would not be planting a church. We would not be leading a church. We would not be living the life that we so enjoy at this point of life if it's not been for C3. And so being a part of C3 in a bigger way, you know, expanding the kingdom of God in a greater way is a huge blessing for us and for our church, for our children. Do keep us in prayer as yeah. we juggle the House of Clarence and Destiny C3 and the different churches. But we are really excited.
Yeah, we're excited.
We're so looking forward to what yeah. God's going to do.
And thanks for entrusting us with this responsibility, Pastor Phil. We don't take it lightly. And I just want to take this last moment to say thanks for all you've done, for you being yeah. faithful to the call. And I think the ripple effects of your faithfulness to the call of God in your life is far-reaching. You know, there are people in Malaysia getting blessed. Simply wow. because you've been faithful to the call, and it's really changed our lives, and I know
thank
it's going to change a lot of people's lives as well.
Well, I appreciate that. That's very kind of you. I think that I'm kept by a power that's greater than myself, and if I keep myself in Him, I think He keeps yeah. me from doing anything stupid. And and you know, with you guys like surrounding us. Everybody is blessed. Everybody has benefited. And I must say this, Clarence,
yeah.
one of the greatest blessings that you have is a wife who is so full on into the call of God alongside of you. This
Amen.
Is a, this
Amen.
Is a huge, this is a huge blessing. And I mean, obviously, Deb, you're blessed with an awesome husband who's on fire for God, and that can bring any family deep security. But thank you for being consecrated. You've crossed the line where you said no turning back. We're separated to Jesus, and we're going to fulfill the call. And on that Amen. Platform, anything is possible for you guys and for KL and for Malaysia and for that whole region. So God bless you. Thanks for being with us.
Bless you.
Thank you, Pastor Phil.
Thank you.
Hey, thanks so much for joining us today. Check out more content on the C3 Church Global Instagram and YouTube page. C3 is a movement of many hundreds of churches around the world, Christ-centered, Spirit-powered, and connect-driven. So wherever you are around the world, I encourage you to find a C3 church near you. See you again soon.